what is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Burnt Denim, the podcast where we spread knowledge, instill passion, and generate conversation. Once again, I am your co-host, Nick.
And I am your co-host, Max. And we are extremely excited to bring you this episode today. It has been a long time in the making. Before the podcast was even envisioned, this podcast was predestined to be made. It is a very important one because today we are talking about the Louis Vuitton Don.
You ain't got the answer,
Sway. Yay, Yeezus, Yeezy, the college dropout,
Kanye West. The man himself. So to kick it off, Kanye Omari West was born on June 8th, 1977 in Atlanta, Georgia, to Donda and Ray West. He moved to Chicago when he was 3 years old when his parents ended up splitting. Donda raised him to speak his mind, not shy away from things, as
we
you guys
that.
Can
we
kind of
saw
see.
That happen.
This began showing when the teachers at the preschool he was at said that he was academically gifted and talented, but he was not socially adept, as in he didn't get along well with others and work good in a team. So he ended up moving to China for a year when he was 10 years old, had a huge impact on his life. And when he ended up moving back to the States a year later, he had a dream of becoming a video game designer. Which initially got him into working on music scores.
Right.
So even at the age of 13, he would tell his teachers in class, like, I'm not going to class because I'm going to get signed to a record label. Like, he was that confident at such a young age.
Yeah. So, as Nick was saying, his mom taught him this confidence to not shy away from his mind. And we see that play out in, you know, all of his public meltdowns, but also in, you know, the positive aspects too.
Private success.
Yeah. And so, at this young age of 13, he started making beats. He started buying studio time. I heard the story of buying the studio time where it was $25 an hour. And he was like, I think 16 at this time, paying all this money just to be able to make beats. And he was giving these beats out for different rappers to rap on, you know, was a part of a few different rap groups. But he also had this dream to become a rapper as well. He didn't want to just be a producer. He wanted to be a rapper as well. And so his mom introduced him to this producer named No ID, who's a kind of famous hip hop producer. And he started mentoring Kanye, showing him how to sample, showing him how to create the style that he, you know, has today. And then at the time he would give his beats to people such as Common, who was a famous, you know, Chicago rapper. He gave his beats to, he was part of this group with GLC and consequently these other people. And he eventually, as many of you know, if you follow Kanye, got hooked up with Rockefeller Records, and Jay-Z wanted to rap on his beats.
Yeah, I heard Kanye was even so confident in himself that he would actually withhold beats from Jay-Z to keep from himself.
He says it in his own
song. And if you don't know much about rap, Jay-Z was like right-hand man to Biggie Smalls and that whole group. So it was like iconic.
Biggie Smalls
for
Mayor, the rap slayer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was also giving beats to Beanie Siegel, who's another part of Rockefeller Records. But anyway, he started producing and then eventually told Rockefeller, no, I actually want to rap as well. I don't just want to be producing these beats. And so he eventually, as you know, became a very well-known rapper. With clothing aspect, he had always been interested in clothing from a young age. In the song Champion on Graduation, which is my favorite Kanye album, one of the lyrics says, when you see clothes, close your eyelids. So like you can tell, and then that he says, his dad told him, when you see clothes, close your eyelids. So from a very young age, he would want to have nice clothes. I remember he even said in an interview that he would walk in the store and be touching furs and these nice clothes and say, Mom, I want this. Not knowing the value behind them, not knowing the price tag behind them, but just having that eye for that. So he had a creative eye from a young age, very interested in clothing, in music, anything artistic. And so fast forward, he releases his very first album in 2004, The College Dropout, which is many consider one of his best albums still today. And he started his very first kind of clothing phase that can be recognizable for Kanye, and that was wearing these Polo Bear sweaters and his obsession with polo sweaters, Ralph Lauren polo sweaters. And that kind of became a pop culture symbol just because he wore them. You know, other
Ralph
people
Lauren
wore them.
Ralph Lauren was born before I wore them.
Hey, he said that. He said that actually in, what was it called? On the Deaf Poetry Show, he said Ralph Lauren was born before I wore him. But So yeah, so he had this preppy look, and it kind of went along with his album too, mm-hmm. right? He's the college dropout, so he's wearing these preppy things. He's wearing these hoodies. He's wearing button-up shirts under them.
Polo rugby.
Trench coats, you know, dress shoes, dress pants, a very formal look, and it kind of went along with his album. The chains with him, and backpacks was another big thing too. Mm-hmm. He would wear Gucci and Louis Vuitton backpacks, this preppy look, and another state mark, a hallmark of Kanye's style at this time was the pink polo also. Mm-hmm. You even had the pink polo, you thought you was Kanye. He would wear those things. And here's the interesting thing that probably many of you don't know also. In 2005, Nike actually created an Air Max 180 designed by Kanye strictly for him. So it wasn't a release for, you know, the wider population, but his very first taste at designing shoes, which is what most people know him for today, outside of music, they know him for the Yeezy shoes, was in 2005 when Nike allowed him to create an Air Max 180. You can look it up. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And he continued his status as a trendsetter in 2007 when he popularized the shutter shades in his Stronger music video, which went viral. So if you look up Stronger, you know the song that's like harder, better, faster, stronger, bum, bum, bum. You know, that song is pretty well known. In that music video, he wore the shutter shades, which are those glasses with the bars across them. Mm-hmm. And it was to black out the haters, is what he said. But from a very early time, you know, he was setting these trends in fashion, from his preppy look, his pink polos, his backpacks, his the shutter shades. He was a trendsetter from the beginning. He had a vision that was beyond what the culture was saying at the time. And then he also released the Kanye West Bapesta in Bape with 2007. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure this was his actual first shoe that was made available for the public. So he had those Nike Air Max 180s, which were created just for him, mm-hmm. and then went to Nigo and got to create the Bapesta, which is a very famous shoe by Bape in 2007, and it has that college dropout bear, if you look him up. And so, again, he was all about going outside of just the realms of music from a young age. He was all about clothing, and you know, now he might even be more about that, he would say,
So one huge milestone for Kanye in his career was collaborating with Nike in releasing his own shoe, not just his personal one-of-one exclusive. He started developing the Nike Yeezy in 2007 with the idea of creating sort of a Jordan 4. He designed with the idea of creating an athletic shoe that was more fit for rocking the stage versus rocking the court. Mm. He designed with inspirations from the Nike Air Tech Challenge, from the Jordan 3, Jordan 4, and the Nike Air Mags. Mm. Originally, he had light-up soles, but just naturally with the battery life, it didn't work out. So he made them glow in the dark.
That'd be cheesy.
I know, it's like the little, Skechers that light up.
Right. Yeah.
So he ended up doing glow in the dark, which is, you know, just as hype now. He put the repeated Y pattern, originally intended for the sole, but ended up putting a more traditional sole pattern and put the Y somewhere else, which is kind of his play on on the cement that Jordan does.
Yeah, the elephant print. Yeah,
the elephant print. So that was really important for Kanye because he was the first non-athlete to get a full collaboration and release on a line of shoes.
Right. And I heard one thing, sorry, this was huge because he was the first non-athlete that Nike said, okay, we'll give you the shoe. It comes up later as a point of debate, but, also with the Yeezy, he wanted to put a Jordan sole on it, like a style. Yeah. And I guess leaked photos actually came out to like fake people who make fake shoes so early that they actually started releasing fakes before they released with Jordan leftover Jordan soles on the bottom because they knew that's what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
But then Nike said, no, we can't give you that Jordan sole. So he used the Air Tech Challenge sole, which is basically a Jordan 3 sole, it's really interesting. He kind of like worked his way around. He was kind of like butting heads with Nike, even with his first shoe, you know, like right off the bat. So that was interesting.
Doing
too.
His own thing.
Doing his own thing.
They try to calm Ye.
They're trying to have a calm Ye.
So he was spotted wearing all black samples of the Nike Yeezy at the Grammys in 2008, which was one of the first mass public appearances of the Nike Yeezys. Hmm. They finally dropped in April of 2009 in the Zen Gray colorway and the Blink colorway, black and pink, in May 2009. And then finally a tan beige-ish colorway in June, which virtually every celebrity had a pair right upon the release, making it instantly hyped, instantly popular shoe.
Yeah, there were pairs literally already reselling. This was a shoe where like people wanted it really badly, like already. I mean, sometimes it takes time to establish, you know, like a collaboration. Like with Jordans, it took time to establish that people, wow, they actually wanted the Jordans. Right off the bat, Kanye had this polarizing attitude about himself that people either loved him or hated him, but they were talking about him and they wanted these shoes and they were, you know, a very hot shoe. And we'll get back to his Nike collaboration, but around this time in 2008 and 2009, his style changed. It kind of elevated to this more dressy professor look. So you know, he was going through that schoolboy kind of phase with the college dropout, late registration, graduation. He was kind of into that vibe. And then around this time, 2008, 2009, it elevated to this more dressy look. You can see in the Runaway music video for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, he's wearing nice tailored suits. And also on this time, he worked on his first clothing line called Pastel. And he went to great lengths to wear pastel on a majority of his live performances. So he kind of had these different styles. He had this nice look, and then he also had this pastel, which was his first brand he was working on. And he was also working on this with his good friend, Virgil Abloh, who started Off-White, who is now the men's creative director for Louis Vuitton. Virgil helped Kanye design the pastel line and had been his creative consultant and helping him design album covers and more since 2002 while he was still in college. So Kanye kind of recruited Virgil Abloh to help him be his creative director and help him launch Pastel. Unfortunately, Pastel was a commercial failure. There were no large quantities ever actually produced. And despite having a large brand recognition, there were a lot of celebrities I know, like Rihanna and these other big names were wearing it, but it never actually took off and it turned out to be a failure. And that's why you don't really hear of Pastel today.
Right, which is crazy now because you can find those pieces in resale shops for like thousands of dollars.
Very coveted items.
So it's interesting how now it's like a collector's item in a way.
Yeah, but that was his real first venture. First venture in the world of clothing. And he got to do it with his friend Virgil Abloh, who is successful now as well. Then in 2009, Louis Vuitton released the Kanye West designed Louis Vuitton Jasper. We mentioned it in previous episodes, but this is a shoe that is also highly sought after. And Kanye saw himself as the Louis Vuitton Don, always wearing Louis Vuitton clothing and bags. And so he finally got to collaborate with them in 2009. This was also the year when Kanye started attending Paris Fashion Week. Weeks with his squad, including Virgil Abloh, Don C, and many more. And there's a famous picture, you can look it up, a famous picture of that whole squad at Paris Fashion Week in 2009 wearing this preppy wear that I'm talking about, like, you know, these tailored suits with bright, like, gloves, Louis Vuitton bags. And it was outlandish. You look at it today and you're like, what is that?
We'll put it on here for you guys watching on YouTube.
And it is just a very outlandish picture, but he was really serious about getting into clothing. And then in 2010, Kanye began the Rosewood movement. And the Rosewood movement is where he wanted him and his crew to wear sharply tailored suits to elevate and sophisticate the world of rap and hip hop. He didn't want it to be his baggy clothing anymore. He didn't want it to get a bad rap. He wanted it to be an elevated art form. And so he started this Rosewood movement where he would have everybody at Good Music, which was his label that he created, everybody at Good Music was required to wear tailored suits to when they're working on things and treat each other with the highest level of like exemplary behavior. So he really wanted to elevate the rap game and take it to this sophisticated place. Mm-hmm. And this actually, another part of the Rosewood movement was wearing a lot of red. You see him from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy upon his album release. And when he was doing the tours, he would wear red blazers with, you know, red pants, and he would wear all red outfits. And so that was a huge, huge piece too. So.
Yeah. Some might say that's luxury rap.
The Hermes versus sophisticated ignorance. Write my curses in cursive. We're spitting lyrics at you through this because we both love Kanye. So if you're wondering, what are they saying? We're spitting lyrics. Look them up.
It's
and you'll
good
find
too
great
to kind of follow through his influences in his music. So it's good because that kind of reveals of where he's at in his own fashion journey.
You listen to his songs and it actually tells you a lot about his fashion journey.
Yeah. So along with that, in 2011, he released his first full clothing line dubbed the DW Collection. I'm assuming it's Donda West.
There's no confirmation on that, but we're assuming.
But it is a woman's ready-to-wear collection, which was unfortunately horribly received by the fashion community.
Yeah, they said no way.
Later on in that same year, he released Watch the Throne with Jay-Z.
Great album.
As well as seen transitioning style into more leather, biker type wear.
Yeah.
With wearing leather joggers, leather skirts, and graphic tees. When he performed with Jay-Z at the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, he wore a Versace and Balmain jacket that after his appearance there sold out in like a record time.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. And that really shows where the Kanye effect really started to take place, Kanye where effect. Anything Kanye does, there's a huge
anything he wears gets sold out. You know, right. He could wear like this t-shirt and you see it sell out. This is kind of where you start to see that.
There's a story too about him like spilling mustard on a shirt and then people trying to recreate that shirt and that also like selling out.
Come on, people. There's a there's a limit as well. To the madness.
So moving on, he had the Nike Air Yeezy 2, drew a lot of inspiration from an animalistic style design, from the reptile-inspired ribbed back to the snakeskin pattern on the sides of the shoe. Also, a lot of Egyptian inspiration with pyramid designs and hieroglyphics, spelling Yeezy on the tongue, depictions of the Egyptian god Horus on the tongue and insole. And Nike officially announced these in May of 2012. And announced the platinum and black colorways, but yeah. There is like one more that I'd say is like maybe one of the most coveted sneakers of all time.
I agree. It's one of my favorites. I really like the Nike. We'll put a picture up. I like the Nike Air Yeezy 2 a lot better than the one. You can just see the development. It's a lot just better looking of a shoe. So yes. So these two, the platinum and black colorways, mm-hmm. announced and later released in 2012. Then there was a little colorway called the Red October. And this is where Kanye had his falling out with Nike. They later announced the Red Octobers, which were an all red, completely red. Every aspect of the shoe was red, except I think the gold lace tips. But everything else is red on the shoe. And they were later announced in June. They were announced in June of 2012, so the same year, with only 5,000 pairs that were going to be produced. Mm-hmm. But they did not release in June of 2012. They actually would go on to release later in 2014, almost 2 years later. We'll get to that. But they did not release in June of 2012, and Kanye publicly fell out with Nike before they released, and he didn't even know when they would release. He's in an interview, and he was saying, I talked to Nike. I said, when are the Red Octobers coming out? Me, you know, Kanye West, I was talking to them, and they said, oh, we don't know. So that he really didn't like that. And he raged on Nike at the end of 2013 on stage at his concerts. Like there's a whole, you know, meltdown, breakdown against Nike that he has in one of his concerts in 2013. Yeah. And even in his 2013 Zane Lowe BBC interview, he talks about how Nike was doing him wrong and he didn't know when the Red Octobers were coming out. And one of the huge problems and the reason that he fell out with Nike was because Nike wouldn't pay him royalties because he wasn't an athlete. So he's getting this whole line of shoes, but they weren't paying him anything. Jordan got royalties on the Jordan brand. And he was getting millions of dollars, and they wouldn't give Kanye any because he wasn't an athlete. And that really rubbed Kanye the wrong way. That was a huge mistake by Nike, gigantic mistake by Nike. And they also didn't give him enough creative freedom. They would only allow him to do certain amount of releases a year and only allow him to tweak shoes so much. And eventually, the Red Octobers released in 2014 on Twitter. It was a Twitter exclusive drop. You had to like go through Twitter. And this was after Kanye already stopped working with Nike. And Kanye took a deal with Adidas in December of 2013, before the shoes even came out, the Nike ones, since it would pay royalties and he felt it would be the best move for his family's legacy. So basically, Nike missed out on a huge opportunity by not giving enough creative freedom, by not paying him royalties. It could have been the next Jordan brand for them.
Yeah.
It really could have. It could have been their next Jordan brand. So in 2013... he decided to go with Adidas, and Nike released the last Nike Air Yeezy in 2014.
Right, and that ended up being one of, in my opinion, one of Nike's worst mistakes and one of the biggest things Adidas capitalized on.
Yes.
So getting to that, in 2013, 2014, he started making merch for his Yeezus store that became sort of like the quintessential hypebeast item in pieces, and he ended up hiring the now icon in streetwear, Jerry Lorenzo, to help him design his merch as well as his collab with APC. They made bold fashion choices while on tour, such as wearing the Margiela mask you might have seen with diamonds all over them.
He wore a whole mask the whole show, didn't show his face.
Not showing his face.
Pretty interesting.
He released his first Adidas Yeezy shoe during the All-Star break in 2015, and it was the Adidas Yeezy Boost 750 in a gray colorway with a glow in the dark sole. And it would also come out later in a black and chocolate in gray with gum sole. It meant to be sort of like a cooler men's UGG boot.
I really like them.
Yeah, they're still controversial.
Yeah.
But I like them too. Later in June of 2015, the Yeezy Boost 350 V1 and Turtle Dove released, followed by the Pirate Black, Moonrock, and Oxford Tan. And with that, there is an insane amount of fakes created with this. I'm sure you've been inside your local mall and seen this random shop in the middle that's selling like
glow versions of boots. Yeah.
So there were an insane amount of fakes that tried to hop on this trend and were just produced for better or for worse to make the shoe more popular, but also people didn't like it because they just assumed they were fake even if they were real.
Yeah.
It was just insane the amount of fakes that were put forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yes, so he's starting with Adidas in 2014, 2015, and he releases these shoes, and that's the Yeezys we think of today, you know, the Adidas Yeezys. Some people don't even know he had a thing with Nike because it was so limited and so small and a very short run. But then in 2015, Kanye actually released Yeezy Season 1 in collaboration with Adidas, and this was what, like, the Yeezy brand clothing is today. So he released his first clothing line in 2015. And many argued that his prices were way too steep and they didn't like the designs and they were still, you know, mad at him for not getting, you know, being a true fashion designer. I mean, he had taken an internship at Fendi with Virgil Abloh, I think in 2007 earlier, and he really wanted to enter this world, but people kept saying no. It still sold out. That collection still sold out because people love the hype. In 2015 and 2016, he released Yeezy Seasons 2 and 3 in quick succession. And Yeezy Season 3 was actually released, debuted at Madison Square Garden with more than 20,000 people in attendance. He had it all covered up and he took it off and all the models were standing there in Yeezy Season 3 clothing designs. And then he ended the fashion show by debuting his album, The Life of Pablo. So think about that. You're at Madison Square Garden, you see his new clothing line, and then he releases his new album right there. There's famous videos of him with Kid Cudi dancing and listening to the, that was all at a fashion show that he was doing. And then almost a year later, from the Yeezy 350 V1, the Yeezy 350 V2 Beluga release in September of 2016. And it's still being made in different colorways today.
Right.
So the 350 V2 is still a shoe that is being made today. I have a pair. They're very comfortable. But when people think of the traditional like Yeezy, like, oh, that's a Yeezy. This is the shoe we're talking about, the 350 V2. Again, we'll put it up so you can see it. But yeah, it's a shoe that's still being made today. Very successful shoe. It was more sturdy than the V1, different prime knit. It read the word supply 350 on it.
Yeah. Slightly different shape.
Different shape. And there was a translucent kind of like,
like a cage.
Yeah. Like a kind of translucent cage. And some of them have a heel tab and some don't. That was a little thing. So still a shoe that's being made today. And yeah, the cage around the head, the rib cage around the boost, it was translucent. And yeah, there were many influential colors of these, such as the very first ones, the Belugas. He did packs that were, you know, the bread colorway. The Zebras, that's a huge one that people know. Yeah. That's when he brought back the heel tab. And yeah, he had a dream to actually make these more accessible to people because they were getting sold out and being resold for such a crazy amount of money. The reason the shoe's still being made today is because he made a lot more. He made mass amounts of them.
And I think the first one that he made a ridiculous amount of was the cream one, right?
Yeah.
Where it's basically just all white.
Everybody could get one.
He said a million pairs. I'm not sure if the stock was like literally a million.
It was near there. Yeah.
But almost anyone could have got them. They didn't sell out immediately.
Right.
So if you were on the website trying to get them, sure you had access. Just because that was his dream and his initial goal to make Yeezy accessible to anyone.
Right.
Which kind of leads us to where Yeezy is at now and where the future of Kanye West and his design journey is.
Yeah.
Most recently, or a little bit back in 2017, he released the Yeezy 700 Wave Runner.
Yeah.
In August, and is seen as the token dad shoe. It like spiked the popularity of the whole like dad shoe wave. And eventually led to kind of that whole trend of his,
like ugly people. Yeah, it's like, they would be considered ugly shoes, but people like them because Kanye's name's attached to it. And then it starts to grow on you. That's what happened to me with the Wave Runner.
Yeah, yeah. So now you see him wearing like sweats and different things like that, more like athleisure type wear.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads to where he is now and where a lot of people think about him.
Yeah.
The, doesn't matter what you think about him personally, whether you like him or not, he is like one of the most influential people there is today.
Yeah.
In any realm, whether that's architecture, music, design,
spiritually, not like he's like, you know,
Christian
with his
leadership,
Christian,
you know?
Leadership. Yeah. Like in every facet, he has become extremely influential, and he brought Adidas to the forefront. Adidas has always been big, but he really made Adidas that Nike competitor, which, you know, Nike will probably, if we're thinking like in real terms, will always be bigger and will always have a bigger like amount of stars behind them, like signed with them. But he really challenged Nike. You know, Yeezy outsold Jordan Brand multiple years in a row. Right now, you know, Jordan Brand took them back over, but Yeezy was outselling Jordan Brand. He made the Adidas Ultra Boost popular, which was a running shoe that he would wear in his concerts. Everybody had to have Ultra Boost. So it was Ultra Boost hype in 2016, 2017. You know, he built $1.5 billion sneaker empire. And he owns 100. The reason he's a billionaire, right? And Jordan isn't. This is interesting too. Like, why is he a billionaire? Jordan isn't. He owns 100% of the Yeezy name. So he gets paid way more. Jordan sold like most of the Jordan name to Nike, but Kanye obviously is having Adidas produce the shoe, but he still owns 100% of Yeezy itself. And I mean, he's looking to expand. We heard about his collaboration with Gap. He's going to have like a, I think it's a 10-year deal or something like that, where he's going to be in collaborations with Gap. So he's wanting to make clothes. He's not, he doesn't care about the hype so much. He's going to make hype shoes, but he wants to make clothing that everybody can wear.
That's accessible. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to design the perfect hoodie, sell it at Gap for $60. You know, he has, you know, he's creating millions of pairs of Yeezys so everybody could have them. Some people don't like that. They're like, no, I want it to be the special thing. But he's like, no, I'm designing the shoe I want the average kid to be able to get.
Yeah, so it's interesting kind of to see where a lot of people stand with this, because there's a whole debate, like you were saying, how people want Kanye West and his merch and his things that he releases to be sort of limited and hype. Right. But then there's the other end that want, that Kanye is kind of on, that wants it to be just accessible for everyone.
Right.
So looking back on history and like streetwear and sneakers, you can kind of see iconic shoes that are sort of staples in everyone's closet. For example, like the Chuck Taylor or like Air Force Ones.
Right.
So who's to say that Kanye West can't do that with one of his Yeezys
or
some of his clothing?
I think in the Hypebeast world, he has with that 350, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so pretty impressive.
It's interesting to kind of see where he wants to go with that.
And
trying to create that as a fashion standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And something that's normal. Versus something that's hype and limited and only accessible to select few.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just, again, the tip of the iceberg. You can, there's so much more to research. Go listen to his music. Go research more about him. One of my friends literally...
Follow his political campaign.
Yes, hey, no. Do it. 2020 vision. But one of my friends literally took a class at Berkeley called Kanye West. It was a whole class. Multiple credit class where they literally went through like periods of his life and studied his albums. Like, it was crazy. So there's so much to learn about him. So it's pretty interesting. Go look it up. I wish I took that class, but yes. But now we come to a portion of our show, our podcast,
our
thing
video.
Now we like to call wear, tear, or share. And this is where we look at different outfits and we say we would wear them, meaning we like them, and we would wear them. Tear them, meaning they're trash.
They're trash.
Get them out of here. Yep. And share, meaning we like them, but we don't think we could pull them off. So we'll share the outfit. So we thought, let's do some Yeezy / Kanye outfits. It could either be something that he designed, someone in Yeezys, or he himself wearing an outfit. Right. So Nick, do you want to show me what you found first?
I'll go first.
Because again, I haven't seen these before. If you're new to this,
so we haven't shown each other our pictures, but I have a feeling that we may have.
I have
some
a feeling we
ones.
Chose some of the same pictures.
So here's my first one.
I didn't
Boom,
choose this.
Right there.
I didn't.
That's Kanye West. I can't remember. Was that the Met Gala?
Met Gala. He's wearing
where
the Dickies.
He's wearing the full Dickies outfit, the Dickies Eisenhower jacket and some Dickies work pants. And then there's a man in the background.
I'm
pink bow.
I'm going wear just because it's very simple, not flashy, looks good. Dickies, you can't go wrong, right? I mean, the pants, and I actually do like that jacket and the white tee, and I like how he wore that at the Met Gala when you're supposed to wear extravagant outfits. So, plus one for Kanye, I'll wear it.
Kanye always doing his own thing, and also too, this might
probably won't say tear to Kanye.
This might have started the whole workwear trend that we're seeing now with
He wears a lot of Carhartt. He does
Carhartt. Yep, Dickies, all of that. So there's the first one. The second one is this.
Wait, no. What are you doing though?
Well, oh, me? Oh, yeah, that's wear. for sure.
Okay. Double wear. Sweet.
Yeah. I have both of those
I
things.
I saw the next pick. I'm excited.
I have that jacket and those pants. But anyways, boom, this one. Do you remember this?
I remember this picture. This is Nick and I leading at this youth group camp that we helped lead at. And all of us have this shirt. I'm wearing it right now, so I can't say tear. Right? I'm gonna go wear, but man, I shouldn't have worn Vans. They had to get dirty though.
Some days I'm in my Yeezy, some days I'm in my Vans.
Some days I'm in Vans. But this is a wear because if I said anything else, I'd be a hypocrite because I'm wearing it right now. But this brings back good memories. That was a good time. My hair was not good, but that was a good time. What about you?
Well, I'd say wear because I'm in it.
Yes.
So I don't know how.
What happens if you say tear and you're in it? I don't know.
I'm wearing yellow Crocs though, which kind of,
that's I like fit. It.
That's a wear for sure.
Hey, double wear. We're obviously off to great. I have a feeling we're going to have all wears tonight. But Nick, the two I have for you. The first one.
Yep.
Is okay. Kanye in a Calabasas. This is chunky Kanye. In a Calabasas hat with a black shirt, a North Face puffer jacket, some black. I assume they're Yeezy sweats. And the Yeezy 700 Static Wave Runners.
I definitely say wear. Yeah. I like it. It's just
comfy fit, baby.
It's all about like, even though it's a simple color-wise, like it's all about the shapes. So
it's all about how he's holding his computer.
Right.
Can we see that? This man is holding it with this man said one thumb and okay, I guess you only have one thumb.
Two fingers.
A thumb and two fingers. He really doesn't care. If it drops, he said so be it. Yeah, for me this is also where I've always wanted one of these North Face puffer jackets. They're just expensive and I haven't pulled the trigger.
They are kind of expensive.
But I definitely enjoy this outfit. I love a good black t-shirt is the best. Like,
especially it's like vintage and faded a little bit.
Yes. And so the black t-shirt's the best. Yeah. I like that dad hat. I like the shape. It's a wear. I think this is going to be the first episode where we actually have 100% wears. I don't know. Actually, yeah. I don't know if Nick is confident enough to wear this next one. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
But this next one, Nick, what do you think? Wear, tear, share. What he is wearing is, I think this was another year at the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And he's wearing this kind of heather gray shirt, Fear of God jeans. Some Chelsea boots look like Saint Laurent. Don't quote me on that. And then a custom Balmain, you know, pearl and like rhinestone jacket.
Yep.
Denim jacket.
Can't forget the contacts too.
And the contacts.
I'd say wear to the specific occasion. Like yes. I'm not just walking down the street or doing like a grocery run in this.
You should though.
But if I'm going to a Met Gala, yeah, definitely I'd wear something like that.
That's a fire outfit, bro.
Especially in those times too, because that's when like the Fear of God jeans were at its peak.
At its peak, fourth collection. So you know, if you know, you know. Yeah, you know.
Whether that's because of Kanye or not.
No.
I definitely say
I'm
wear.
A Jerry boy. This is the strongest wear yet of the show. This is arguably my favorite outfit of the decade.
Is it just because of jeans?
No. It's not even the jeans. It's the jacket. This, okay. I want to spend a little extra time on this. Not a lot, but this is probably my favorite outfit of the decade. And I'm going to just tell you why.
Of the decade?
I'm serious. I know you might think like, what? You didn't know this? The jeans are great. Fourth collection jeans. Love them. You know, Justin Bieber wears them, all that. I love the Chelsea boots. But come on, let's get to this jacket. This jacket is so insane. Handmade, Balmain. He wore this outfit in the Wolves music video for Wolves, which is on The Life of Pablo, which is one of my favorite tracks on there. He wears this. They like this jacket so much, they turn this into an entire Balmain campaign with Kanye wearing this. And it's the whole music video. And Kim is wearing the same outfit she wears here too. But this jacket to me is just so crazy. I love the denim jacket itself. I love the wash on it, the light wash. I like how it fits on him. There's like tiny little distresses on it as well. And just the intricate design of it. I just love it. And I actually went, this is a story, about 2 years ago. I went to like Ross or Marshall's. I bought a cheap denim jacket. I went to Michael's, which is across the street.
You bedazzled it.
I got rhinestones and I got a hot glue gun and I spent hours individually putting each one, trying to recreate this. It took so long, I got bored and gave up halfway through, but I still want to finish it one day. And I was trying to recreate this and I wanted to go as Kanye for Halloween. I wanted to get the contacts. I wanted that and I had distressed denim. That's how much I love
it. You still have that jacket?
It's somewhere, it's in a closet. It looks like not good, but I tried.
I tried. Well,
that was...
That's it for Kanye West.
Yes.
But again, with all this, there is so much to Kanye. There are so many layers to his personality and his journey. So I encourage you guys to look it up on your own. Do some of your own research. I mean, we kind of streamlined it a little bit to give you guys a basic outline, but there's so much to fill in here because there's so much depth to him as a person. So I encourage you guys, like,
yeah.
Burnt Denim doesn't just end with us. It continues on with you guys.
In the Instagram, follow us, please.
Exactly. So I encourage you guys to interact with us because I'm sure there's things that we're missing.
Burnt.
There's only so many stories that we can tell. Denim. So yeah, our Instagram is...
at Burnt Denim. Follow us.
Follow us.
Repost us. We come up...
like, comment, subscribe.
We spend time creating this content. We want people to hear it. Please share. Follow our YouTube link in the bio on our Instagram. Please subscribe. It really helps. Leave a like. We're trying to grow and we want people to just hear this.
Right.
It's not even so much about us being like successful or known or anything like that, but we just want to be able to share this information to as many people as we can.
Right.
And I think the best way to end this is to use a lyric from Kanye himself. So I feel like this podcast has been cardio audio.
Let me jog your brain.
All of you Mario. It's all a game. We love y'all.